Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
I'm so excited for the future of this church. I cannot wait to see what God does through their leadership and through the incredible team. And looking out around this room, it is so great just to be back at home, really, back among family. There's so many people. If you've been around here for a long time, which I know some of you have, I was here 24 years ago. You can grab a seat, actually. Why don't you grab a seat? Otherwise, you won't get the opportunity. You guys better grab your seats too as well. Thank you. Can you put your hands together for your incredible music team? So 24 years ago, I hopped in my Ford Laser and drove down from Ballina and turned up here in a Sunday night service. I'd signed up to do C3 College and I came in. I didn't know one person in the whole room. And I remember just being so excited about the adventure that lay ahead. And that was in the year 2000. And in the year 2012, so 12 years after that and 12 years ago, my wife Megan and I, who I met while I was here, I swooped in and married the incredible Megan Southwell, whose parents, Barry and Maureen, many of you well know. They are not here this morning because they are in Darwin looking after our kids so that we can be here. Isn't that so, Barry and Maureen? So 12 years ago, Megan and I, with a one-year-old, and we actually stood up here, and Pastor Phil and Chris laid hands on us and sent us up to Darwin. I don't think they could find anyone else crazy enough to go to Darwin. I didn't even know people lived in Darwin. I know it's like a city up there, but I had no idea what it was. We had no connection to the place. We just went off on another adventure. And it has been an adventure. It's certainly been an adventure the last 12 years in Darwin, but we love it. We love the city, we love the people, we love the church, and we've seen the blessing and the hand of God upon the church and everything. And so now we also, as Alex said, have the privilege of leading C3 Australia. And I think that's because we're at the top of the map. I think kind of they reckon that either we can get a good view of everything down south, or we're far away enough not to bother anyone and cause any problems. I'm not sure, but that is our great privilege to lead C3 all across Australia. And I tell you what, we've got an incredible vision as C3 churches in Australia. We've united together around a vision to see life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. Life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. Because Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the life-giving Spirit. And if He's the head of the church and the founder of the church, then the body should be life-giving as well. I think the world needs more life-giving churches. For too often, the church has been perceived by the world or even experienced by the world that it's not a life-giving experience to be part of a church. As C3 in Australia, our goal is to have life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. We're so excited for what that looks like in the future. It doesn't matter whether the church has got 20 people in it or 20,000 people in it, as long as it's life-giving. We've got to be life-giving because the world desperately needs the life-giving touch of God, and it's going to come through the church. So, having said all of that, I need to preach to you this morning around your current series, which I'm so excited to be asked to speak into, of the names of God. And the name of God that we are looking at today is God Almighty, or El Shaddai, as He revealed Himself. Now, when I got this on my email, El Shaddai, all I could think of was that Amy Grant song from the 80s. Anybody else? I mean, I just love, maybe we'll get that girl if she's here to come up and sing it for us. I don't know, but such a great song. And I've just had it playing on loop all week as I've been preparing this message. Let's read about the first time we come across that name of God. Because every time God appears in the Old Testament, all throughout Scripture, the story is building. And God progressively reveals different parts of his nature and different parts of his character and who he is. And every time he comes and reveals a new name, it is because there is a specific purpose for what that part of his character reveals that he wants to accomplish. And so here God comes to Abraham and he reveals himself as El Shaddai. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 17, verses 1-6. When Abram, everyone say Abram, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God," or El Shaddai, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." What an incredible experience for Abraham, for God to literally turn up and stand before him and just say, "Hey, Abram, I'm going to bless you. I want to multiply you. I want to increase you. I want to give you all the land that is around here. Kings are going to come from you." Who thinks that's a good day? Is that a good day when God just turns up and says something like that to you? What would you do if God just turned up and said, "Hey, I'm just going to bless you. I just want to bless you." Would you be prepared for that? Well, today I really believe that by the end of this message, if you've not heard God say that to you, "I want to bless you. I want to increase you," you're going to see a part of God, the El Shaddai part of God, where he comes to bless and he comes to make you fruitful. Because there's different aspects of God's nature, and the different names of God reveal different parts. One of the key things that we need to understand is that God is the God who wants to bless and increase and make us fruitful. And we're going to see this as part of God's nature as El Shaddai. The reality for Abraham is that when God came and gave him those promises on that day, Abraham, this wasn't the first time that had happened. God had actually come to Abraham 5 times and given him that promise. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. We're in chapter 17. And in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is 75 years old. And this is the first time God comes to him. And he says, "Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your home. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make your descendants like number, like the stars in the sky." And 4 times on different occasions through the journey, remember, he was 75 when it first happened. Now he's 99. Abraham must be like, "God, why do you just keep turning up and saying things like that? When's it actually going to happen?" Because at 75, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, didn't have children. They were unable to conceive. And God says, "It's through your descendants, I'm going to give you a seed, I'm going to give you an heir, and I'm going to multiply you." And so at 75, when they get the promise from God, I'm sure Abraham and Sarah were like, "Awesome. Let's just start with a son." And here we are 24 years later, and Abraham and Sarah still have not produced a son. In fact, we know that they got pretty dark and pretty discouraged, thinking that this isn't going to happen. Because at one point, 13 years earlier, Sarah had said to Abraham, "Here, take my slave, Hagar, and have a son with her. Maybe that's what God meant, because I can't do it." And that didn't end up well. And Abraham and Sarah, here they are, 13 years after that. And I think that Abraham is sitting there thinking, God has moved on. I know God made those promises to me, but I think I've stuffed up. I think I've made some pretty bad choices. I think I've done the wrong thing. Maybe I've disqualified myself, and God has kind of taken back that offer that he's going to bless me. I think we can sometimes do that, right? Disqualify ourselves. It's like, yeah, God, I know that maybe you do want to bless me, but I think I've disqualified myself. I've made some wrong decisions. Maybe I've missed the boat. I knew there were opportunities. Maybe I've missed them. The good news for us today is just like Abraham, God turns back up again because God is the one who says, no, I don't go back on my promises. When I make a promise, I will fulfill it. And so God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, hey, this thing's still on. We're still on. And Abraham's like, okay, all right. And God says, this time it's going to be different because, you know, this is the first time that God reveals himself in this way. God says, this is how you know that we're on this time. 12 months from now, Sarah's going to have a baby. 12 months from now, Sarah will have a baby. It's in there if you keep reading on. And what's more, I'm giving all three of us new names today. He says, no longer you're going to be called Abram. I'm calling you Abraham. And Sarai, she's going to be called Sarah, because guess what? She's now part of this covenant. The four times that God had come before, it was just a covenant between God and Abraham, or so Abraham thought. God's like, no, this is actually between you and Sarah and me. The three of us are in this together. And he says, I'm giving Sarah a new name. 12 months from now, she'll have a baby. But what's more, I'm showing you my new name. And you're going to experience me in a way that you've never experienced me before. You've experienced me as the creator God. You know I've created the heavens and the earth. You know that I'm the Lord and I kind of steward and manage everything and make sure everything happens. But today I'm revealing to you my name El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, which means nothing is impossible for me, which means everything that I have promised, I am able to fulfill. God Almighty. Have you got the revelation of God Almighty, that nothing is impossible for him? One of the things that I just can't fathom about God is, and it's something that confounds people for thousands of years, and in theological terms, they call it the transcendence of God, which means God is so much bigger and so different to us because he's pure and holy and he's God, right? It's like people say, do you believe in the virgin birth? Like, yeah, I don't actually believe in that, do you? It's like, well, if I didn't, you couldn't call him God. Because that means that he does things that are outside of possibility. That's the whole point of being called God, right? You can't believe in a God that can't do that stuff because you can't call him God. It's the transcendence of God. You just call him Jim or something. If he's bound by the same rules as the rest of us, he's like, Jim, who do you worship? Jim. Or any of the other names of gods that are out there, right? He's called God because he can do stuff. He's transcendent. He's so much different to us. And yet, there's a tension because the God who is transcendent is also what they call immanent, which means he's close to us. And yet he's so far, yet he's so close. He's so holy, and yet he's happy to come and dwell with us. And it's this God, this transcendent God who says, I am El Shaddai. I am the God who can do all things. And yet he stands in front of Abraham and says, let's make a covenant together. The bigness and that's what he does to us. So I want to tell you today, God, yes, he may seem like he's so far away, but I want to tell you, he actually wants to be close to you, just like he was with Abraham. El Shaddai means Almighty God. And for Abraham, that meant that God was going to take 99-year-old Abraham and 90-year-old post-menopausal Sarah, and they were going to have a child, and they were going to call him Isaac. And every promise that God has made to Abraham over the last 24 years is going to be fulfilled through this child, Isaac. Why? Because he is God Almighty. And it makes sense, doesn't it, when you think, well, of course he waited till they were that old, because how else would you know that it was God? God Almighty. The reality is, though, when God came and met Abraham in that moment, that was in a moment of deep shame as to what had happened with Hagar and Ishmael, of brokenness, of feeling forgotten, of feeling forsaken, of feeling like he'd missed the boat, of feeling like he'd missed out on all the promises that God has. And I know that this happens to many of us. And I've seen it in our church in Darwin. There were people who have been around for the 40 years that the church has been going, say there were prophecies that were proclaimed 40 years ago that we're seeing the fulfillment of today. And there were moments where it looked like that was not possible. In fact, the church came within a whisker of being shut down. Couldn't even pay the electricity bill. And yet God, often he allows those situations to set up for what he actually wants to do in your life. He will allow things to get to that dark where it's only God that we can look to. Only God can get the glory which for what is about to happen. So fortunately or unfortunately, depending which way you look at it, there's often a cycle. You get into your deepest, darkest times. There's an opportunity to experience God as El Shaddai. And if you will look out of that moment, don't think I'm stuck here forever. Abraham could have said, God, I've heard it all before. I don't believe it anymore. But it says that Abraham fell down on his face. It's like, okay, I trust you, Lord. And if you will look to El Shaddai, the Almighty God, for whom nothing is impossible, you will then find yourself walking into this new zone of promises fulfilled, of multiplication, of increase, of blessing, of every promise that God has made. But you need to not get stuck and stay. And isn't it tragic when you see people who get stuck in the brokenness or the offense or the disappointment and they can't seem to climb out of it? But there is a God standing who we can look to called El Shaddai, the Almighty One. It doesn't matter how bad things get. It says Abraham looked at his body and it was as good as dead. It doesn't matter how bad things get. God is able. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see this with Moses, who goes up on a mountain and there's a burning bush. And God's people have been enslaved for 400 years. 400 years. That's a pretty deep, dark place. And then God calls Moses. And he speaks to him out of the burning bush. And you know what Moses said? You know what God said to Moses? He said, I revealed myself to Abraham as El Shaddai. Now go and set my people free. God says it's time for some El Shaddai again. It's time for God Almighty to do some things. It's time for God Almighty to move. In my family, we've never really had a big problem with believing in God, for God Almighty. My parents, my grandparents were Christians, and 51 years ago, my father had a motorcycle accident that left him in a wheelchair, paraplegic from that moment, completely paralyzed from that about there down. And a couple of years after that, he married my mum, but she married Dad knowing that they'd never be able to have children. And all the best specialists at North Shore Hospital and everywhere, they were saying, you know, pulled her aside and said, you sure you want to do this? Because you'll never have children. It's medically impossible. And I remember the stories told that my dad was like, no, God can do it. Yeah. If he did it for Abraham, he did it for so many people throughout the Bible. It's kind of like God's favorite miracle to perform is the people who get told they can't have children to have children. And lo and behold, here's number one. Then the two others, there's three of us. And so there's something about growing up in a family, hearing that story. It's like, you know, we were told we'd never be able to have children. Look at you guys. And so well, you just naturally believe in God Almighty. You just naturally believe. I remember when I came here, I was doing C3 College, and Simon McIntyre was doing a lecture, and I was sitting just in there somewhere, and he said, write down what, when you think about God, what's the first thing you think of? And I said, miracles. Because that's how I came into the world. He is the God of the impossible. The God of the impossible. And he wants to reveal himself to you as the God of the impossible. Every name of God, every name that God has means something. And I watched a video last week of Pastor Alex reading all the names of God from the Old Testament. There was heaps of them. But each one of them means something at a certain point in time. Today is no accident that we are talking about El Shaddai. Because there are people here today, God is wanting to reveal himself to you as El Shaddai, the God Almighty, the God of miracles, the God for whom nothing is impossible. And I believe he sent me here today to encourage you to put your faith in him. But you know, El Shaddai, that name, comes from the literal word Shaddai in the Hebrew, which means mountain. So El, meaning God, Shaddai means mountain, literally means God of the mountains. God of the mountains. And you see that because, I mean, how cool is that? God of the mountains. Who wants to serve God of the mountains? It's like way better than God of the valleys. I'm sure he is that too, right? He's the God of everything. But hey, God of the mountains for me. Long before the Tour de France, guys were fighting over who's the king of the mountain, right? Long before Peter Brock, anybody, was driving around Bathurst trying to be king of the mountain. We have God of the mountain. El Shaddai means God of the mountains. And that's why we get God Almighty, because the image of a mountain is strength. Mate, that thing's not moving. Good luck moving that mountain. It's a refuge. It's a place to run and hide from your enemies. It's a place to run and hide from the natural elements. When you need to hide. It's also a place where the water flows down and there's blessing and there's life. He's God Almighty. There is strength that comes from God. But it's more than just the symbolism of the strength of a mountain. I believe when God revealed himself to Abraham, he is foreshadowing the number of times mountains come up in the story of our salvation. Already talked about Moses and the burning bush meeting God on the mountain and God saying, I am El Shaddai. Now go and set my people free. Abraham, he gets, after Sarah has the baby, I reckon he's about 18, 20 years old by now. God comes to Abraham and says, you know, Isaac, the son of the promise, the son that you could never have, well, I want you to take him up a mountain and offer him back to me. It's like, what? Literally, sacrifice him on the top of the mountain. And if you know the story, you know they go up to the top of this mountain called Moriah, and Abraham goes with Isaac, lays him out on the altar, and he's got the knife ready. Ready to actually sacrifice. Because in Abraham's mind, you find out in the book of Hebrews, in Abraham's mind, he says, well, I know that God is the God of the impossible. This is what got us to this point. And so if God wants me to kill him and sacrifice him, then maybe God is going to raise him back to life straight after. And that is the thinking of Abraham in that moment. So he gets the knife, and he's like, okay. And just when he gets to there, you hear a sheep in the background. And God says, okay, you've proven that you trust me. You've proven your faith in me. Here, let Isaac go and sacrifice the sheep instead. The God of the mountains provided for Abraham. Once again, in the moment of his greatest need. Could you imagine being Abraham, having to go through with something like that, but trusting God? The God of the mountains came through. What about Elijah going up the mountain to Mount Carmel, challenging all the prophets of Baal to see who was the true God? And Elijah calls down fire from heaven, and the God of the mountains answered by fire. proving that he was the true God of power, the true God of the impossible. I mean, who ever heard of fire coming down onto an altar? Mount Sinai, Moses goes up to meet with God, and the finger of God carves into the stone the Ten Commandments. Guys, this is how to live. The God of the mountains showing his people the way. God is El Shaddai, the God of the mountains. Not just in Abraham's world, but in every mountain that makes up the story of salvation. The most important mountain of all is the one that every single piece of this story leads to. Every single mountain points forward to the mountain of Calvary. The mountain just outside Jerusalem, where they used to execute the worst criminals. The mountain just outside of Jerusalem where, when God himself came to earth as a man, and he lived the life that none of us could live. And so he died the death that all of us should have died in our place, the great exchange, where God himself willingly went to the cross, where the God of the mountains himself went on a mountain to die for us. So great was his love for every single one of us, because our sin, our brokenness, our offense had separated us from God. And the only way to restore that connection, to restore that relationship between people and God, was for God himself to die in our place. What a beautiful picture of the God of the mountains, even from that very first moment when he stands before Abraham saying, "I am El Shaddai, the God of the mountains." He knew it was going to end up in his own crucifixion of his only son. We think God asked a lot of Abraham, but God knew that there was a lot more that he had to pay than what Abraham ever did. And so on that cross, Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world, but he proved that he was the Almighty God, the God for whom nothing is impossible, because when they killed him on that cross and put him in a tomb, on the third day, he rolled that stone away and he walked out victorious over sin and over death. Who can beat death? Only God. People say, surely you don't believe that Jesus actually died and actually rose. Of course, there's no other alternative. If he didn't, he's not God. What are we doing here? We should all be at the beach. Of course he rose from the dead. Of course he rose from the dead. He is God Almighty. He is El Shaddai. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he can do it for Abraham and Sarah, he raised Jesus from the dead. Imagine what he can do for your life. Don't just get stuck in this place of darkness and despair and thinking you've missed it. It's like, no, God, let's get back in the game. I'm going to believe you again for your promises. I'm going to believe, Lord, that you're going to do incredible things through my life for your glory. And so if I could ask every eye to be closed and every head bowed and musicians to come back. There's a couple of things that I'd like to do in this moment. The first is to give you the opportunity to connect with this God Almighty. Maybe you've never connected with God before. Maybe you've never believed that those miracles that we read about in the Bible, the miracles of the faith, even happened. But today, you can feel the whisper of the God of heaven and earth calling you to put your trust in him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. Or maybe you're here and you've maybe grown up in church. Maybe you've prayed a prayer before. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe whatever, but today you know, hang on, this is for real. This is for real. I want to give myself to this. You want to pray a prayer like I did when I was 14 years old, where I said, God, I want to be serious about you. I've believed. I've done all the right things, but I want to be serious about following you. I want to enter into every promise that you've got. Maybe you want to give yourself to Jesus today. If either of those relate to you, just every eye's closed, every head's bowed. What I'd love to do is, in a moment, I'll get you to raise your hand just to own it before God. And I'll see your hand. I'll acknowledge it. When I've acknowledged it, you can put it back down. This is a great opportunity for you to own that moment before God and say, yeah, that's me. So wherever you are in this room today, would you raise your hand right now if that's you? I want to say yes to Jesus, whether it's for the first time, or whether I'm taking this to a whole new level of faith in my heart, in my life. Just put your hand up nice and high. Say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my whole heart. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there this morning saying, yeah, that's me. Thanks, buddy. I see your hand too. Incredible. I'm just going to wait another 30 seconds because the whisper of the Holy Spirit is drawing people. And for sometimes it's a wrestle. And that's good. That's okay. There's somebody here that you know if you do lift your hand, you're going to have to change some things. Who is that person? It's a big call, but God is with you and He's for you. His strength and His Spirit. Everybody, just pray right now. Father, we just thank you. You're drawing people to yourself. Awesome. Is that a hand up the back? Awesome. Thank you. Who else is there this morning? I tell you, this is a holy moment. Thank you, Lord. Just where we are, I just want to lead us in a prayer. Why don't we all repeat this prayer after me? If you lifted your hand, make this your prayer. If you didn't, but you think you should have, it's okay. You can make this your prayer too. Why doesn't everybody join in this prayer this morning and help us pray together? Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross in my place. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Forgive me all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.